If you will, turn back with me to the chapter that was read at the beginning of the service, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to speak to us this evening from verse 12. For we have received, got to go back to verse 1 to see who are included in that word we. The apostle is writing to brethren. Brethren. Got to go back to chapter 1 and verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren. So this verse of scripture that we are looking at tonight is speaking to brethren, to believers. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The apostle is speaking to believers, to brethren, as having received the Holy Spirit, that in order that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. The Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples, would guide them and teach them. And Paul asked the believers in the churches of Galatia this question. He said, "This only would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" How is it, as a child of God, you received God the Holy Spirit? Now, some people, you know, they would teach, well, you have to be baptized in Jesus' name. When our Lord Jesus Christ said that we are to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, but there are those who deny the Trinity, and they lay a great emphasis on the fact that if you would receive the Holy Spirit, you must be baptized in the name of Jesus only. That's not what the Apostle Paul asked. "This only would I know of you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law," that is, by your obedience to the law. Is that how you received God the Holy Spirit into your heart? This verse of Scripture declares unto us that all believers, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. That is God the Holy Spirit. Every child of God has received God the Holy Spirit. How did He come into you? How did He communicate Himself into you? We know, as the Apostle Paul said there to the believers in Galatia, it was through the preaching of faith. It was by preaching the gospel, hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on Him, for whosoever shall believe in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And that's the way, mysterious, yes, absolutely. I believe one verse of that hymn we just sang a few minutes ago deals with that fact. How? God the Holy Spirit was made known in us. It is a mystery. The new birth is a mystery. The wind bloweth where it listeth, our Lord said. You hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell from whence it cometh, nor where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I believe it was the Puritan Thomas Goodwin, at least the first one that I read, who said this. He said, "The gospel is a chariot in which the Holy Spirit comes into the hearts of His chosen people." This past week, I read an article about the vocabulary count, word count in our vocabularies. And I read that a child of 4 years old has a vocabulary of 4,000 words. And I thought, well, that's That's something, isn't it? I mean, we come into this world, we start with zero. We start at zero, and in 4 years, we've got a vocabulary of 4,000 words. Isn't that amazing? And then double the age to 8 years of age, and we've already doubled our vocabulary again. Now it's 8,000 words. And these are just the average individuals. Understand that. And these studies that I read, at least they all seem to be pretty consistent in these numbers. An average adult has a vocabulary between 20 and 35,000 words. And I mention this to us tonight because God the Holy Spirit is our teacher. That's what the Lord told his disciples in John 14 in verse 26. But the Comforter, he has several names and several office works, doesn't he? But the Comforter, he comforts us. God the Holy Spirit, he comforts us in all our tribulations. This is what we read in 2 Corinthians. He comforts us. But our Lord said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. He's our Comforter. He's our teacher. He's our guide. And he leads us. The Holy Spirit teaches God's covenant people using the written word of God. I cannot tell you over the years how many articles I've read of men who were deceived into believing that they no longer needed the Word of God, the written Word of God, that they had a spirit within them, a light within them that taught them. So they didn't need the Word of God. They didn't need the ministry of preaching. Those very things that God has given unto us as means for not only our calling, but also our sanctification, that is our growth in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Holy Spirit teaches us, and he does so not by some signal, some sign up in the heavens, no, but with the written word of God. That's the way he comforts us. He comforts us. That's the way he leads us and guides us, by his providence using his written word. But I want us tonight, in this particular verse, let's read it again. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. That's God the Holy Spirit. And no one is saved, you know this, no one has ever been saved apart from the ministry, the work of God the Holy Spirit. Just as much as no one has ever been saved apart from the work of God the Son coming into this world and being made a sacrifice for his people, paying our sin debt, so no one has ever been saved apart from the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. We have received not the spirit of this world. That's an evil spirit, the spirit of this world. That's a spirit that leads men into deception. It's a spirit of lying. But God the Holy Spirit, the spirit of truth, we've received the spirit of truth. Now notice, in order that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And so I want to talk to us this evening about this word freely. God the Holy Spirit, be our teacher tonight to teach us from the Word of God what this exactly means, freely. I want us to go back to Genesis chapter 2 and look at the first time that we have this word in our Bibles, in Genesis chapter 2. And verse 16. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, this is Adam, created by God, had first, God took some dust and made him a body. And then he breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Some religions, you know, they try to teach, well, man's just like an animal. No, God never breathed into an animal a living soul. A soul that man has received is an immortal soul. An animal, if it has a soul, it dies with its body. That soul dies. But the soul of men, you know this is so, your soul, my soul, is going to continue throughout all eternity. It's not going to somehow be erased. It's going to continue. But when God made Adam, placed him in the garden, notice what he said, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. There's that word, freely. Thou mayest freely eat. You see, here we learn the meaning of the word freely. Think about it. We've been watching a series called Alone. I don't recommend it, but it's a series, I guess, a reality show. They take 10 people, men and women, and the episodes we've seen, they drop them off on Newfoundland Island there in Canada off the Pacific, and they're just out there on their own. They're separated, and whoever lasts the longest, there's a prize of $500,000. Now, we've seen some, they call it tapping out. When they push that button, come get me. Come get me. One man was put off in a place where there was a lot of bears, and I don't blame him. He didn't make the night. Come get me. He tapped out. Kind of funny, too, because before he was taken out there, he was with his family, and they were all joking and everything, and he said, when I get in a fight with a bear, you better say, come rescue the bear. In other words, I'm going to take care of the bear. Well, he never actually saw a bear, he just saw evidence of bears. Come get me. He didn't even make nightfall. I don't blame him. I don't want to be in a place with bears, do you? But I couldn't help but think, here, these people are dropped off in places where they have to scavenge for their food, for their shelter, everything. They can take 10 articles with them, and then they're given certain things as well. And cameras, they've got 4 cameras because they want to document everything. But what a difference between God creating Adam and placing him in that beautiful garden and telling him, of every tree except one, thou mayest freely eat. Well, freely. What could Adam have given? Suppose the apples had cost 2 cents apiece and the oranges a nickel. He didn't have any money. Everything he had, God had given him, right? God had given him, and God had given him a lot. God had given him 2 eyes with which to see and 2 ears to hear, and placed him in a beautiful situation. And then he said, just freely eat of every tree except one. What did Adam have to contribute? If God had told Adam, you can eat, but you've got to pay. Well, how could he pay? He didn't have anything. He didn't even have any clothes. He didn't have any clothes on his body. How could he pay? Freely. Thou mayest freely eat. The word freely then must mean, Adam, you are welcome to eat the fruit of every tree except one, without you contributing anything. You don't contribute anything, Adam. You just eat freely. Now, freely in the New Testament has been explained to mean without a cause, because the Scripture speaks about Christ being hated without a cause, the same word that's translated freely. It's all here, Adam. It's all free. Now, that's God's word. That's the way we understand or should understand the word freely, when God says free, freely. But it's sad to say, but the next time, let's look in Numbers chapter 11. The very next time that we have the word freely in our Bibles, we can see how fallen man has changed the meaning. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 5. These are the Israelites in the wilderness, and they're speaking, complaining. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 5. Here's their words. We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely. Do you see how they've changed the meaning of this word? Freely. Here's sinful men speaking and saying that while they were servants in Egypt. They had to serve the Egyptians. And now they're talking about the fact that they were given fish freely. John Gill made this comment. He said, they forgot how dear they paid for their fish by their hard toil, labor, and service. But that's man's definition of freely. The Jewish writers explain this. They explain this verse of Scripture like this. They say that fish were so plentiful in Egypt that they were bought cheap. Fish were so plentiful. That is, the Nile brought so many fish in to Egypt and overflowed its banks, and fish were so plentiful that they were bought cheap. Get that word, bought cheap. They explain it means they had fish for nothing, almost. Freely. What does it mean to them? We had fish free, almost. Almost. Cheap isn't free. Right? Cheap isn't free. Almost nothing isn't nothing. It's almost nothing. Get this in your mind. This word freely means without man contributing anything. Nada. Nothing. The point I wish to make is that fallen man has changed the meaning of freely. When God says freely, it doesn't mean cheap. It doesn't mean almost nothing. It means without man contributing anything. Lost men's definition of freely is at best cheap, almost nothing. You hear men, and I'm talking about religious men, who say, yes, salvation's all of grace, but almost free, it's almost free, but. No, that's not what God means when he says freely. A second place where we see the word freely, our second thought about the word freely, is in Hosea chapter 14 and verse 4. And here God is speaking, and listen now, he says, I will love them freely. I will love them freely. God loves his own, and he loves his own freely. In the Song of Solomon, we read, if a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly contemned. If a man gave all of his house, all of his substance to obtain love, it would be utterly contemned. No, God said, I will love them freely. Amen. God's love is set upon those he loves freely. And that's a good word. Set. God sets his love upon those that he loves. That's a Bible word. That's what that chapter there in 1 Corinthians 2 tells us, that we should use Bible terminology and we should compare spiritual things with spiritual things. Look back to Deuteronomy, or look next to Deuteronomy chapter 7. There may be someone here tonight, and you may be trying to merit God's love, earn God's love, pay for God's love. That's not the way God's love comes. I will love them freely, freely. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 7, beginning in verse 6, we read God speaking to the nation of Israel, For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. You see, God chose Abraham. What was special about Abraham? He came from a family of idolaters. In all probability, he too had practiced idolatry. And that's the very thing. If you look in verse 5 of that chapter, concerning the idolaters who were in the land of Canaan, but thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. In other words, you're to have nothing to do with the idolaters in the land of Canaan. You're to destroy every semblance of their false worship of pagan gods. For thou art a holy people, a chosen people. Talking to the nation of Israel. Holy people unto the Lord, a separated people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Now notice, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But, now here's the reason. Here's the reason God loved you. Here's the reason God chose you. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. In other words, just like this nation of Israel, which is a typical. Now, know this. You understand this. The nation of Israel was over a million strong, I think, when they came out of Egypt. But there was always only a remnant according to the election of grace in that nation who were saved. But the nation itself serves as typical of God's chosen people, of those that God has set his love upon, who he loves freely. They were typical. The inheritance they were given was an earthly inheritance, the land of Canaan. The inheritance that God gives us is a heavenly inheritance. That is, those who are elected and loved freely by God. I don't know how many people torment themselves over this matter of God's love, feeling like they've got to live up to it. They've got to somehow merit it. You can't. And you, by the grace of God, the teaching of God, the Holy Spirit, must understand that God sets his love upon those he loves, and he does it freely. Now, here's the third point. The Holy Spirit teaches us of the things that are freely given to us of God. That's what our text tells us. The Holy Spirit teaches us. How does he teach us? With the Word of God. He calls ministers, preachers, to preach the gospel, to preach the Word of God. And in these ways, he teaches us. The Holy Spirit does. He teaches us of the things that are freely, freely given unto us of God. Now, I want to show you three things in the New Testament that we're told are freely given unto us. These three things God the Holy Spirit teaches us. First of all, I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 6. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 6, and we see the same thing in chapter 22, but let's look here in chapter 21 and verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Amen. Freely. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? You say, what is the water of life? Well, the water of life is eternal life. It's knowing Christ. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said unto that woman there at the well, a Samaritan woman. And he told her this, among other things. He said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. In Isaiah, we have a place there where the word is, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters and drink. Come and buy milk and wine, and come and buy without price. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ says, the water of life that I give freely. Freely. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Freely. All right, here's the second. Back in Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Romans 3 and verse 24, the apostle says, it's not by the works of the law, but being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What is justification? It is being declared righteous, having all our sins put away. And how is it that men are justified? It is freely through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, God is just in justifying the ungodly because of the substitutionary sacrifice, the vicarious sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his Lord. The blood of Christ, the death of Christ in the stead of his people. Freely, freely. Justified freely. And then here's another place in Romans 8 and verse 32. Romans 8 and verse 32, all things. The water of life is given freely. Justification comes freely. And yes, all things. Verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things, freely, all things. You say, well, all, that's an all-inclusive word, isn't it? Yes, it is. All temporal blessings that he sees best for you. And he sees best for me. All that are for our good and all spiritual blessings, these are all freely given unto us. We don't merit them. We don't deserve them. They're freely given. And there's one last thing I want to say, and that is, if you turn to Luke chapter 7 and verse 41 and 42. The translators, for some reason, I'm not sure why, but this same word which is translated freely in these places here in the New Testament that we have looked at, chose not to translate that word freely here. They used a different word, and it is the word frankly. In our Lord's parable in Luke chapter 7, verses 41 and 42, our Lord is speaking to a Pharisee. Now, you know the Pharisees, we have the illustration of the Pharisee who went up into the temple to pray, and he said, Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like other people. And our Lord is in his house eating, and this woman comes in, who was a sinner, the scripture says, probably a prostitute, known in that city. And she came to the Lord Jesus Christ and began standing at his feet to weep and wash his feet with her tears and dry them with her hair. Yeah. And that old Pharisee, boy, if he really was a prophet, speaking about Christ, if he really was a prophet, he would know what manner of woman she is. But what the Pharisee did not know is that, praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ came on purpose to save people like that woman, people like you and people like me. And so he told Simon this parable in verses 41 and 42. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly, freely, that's what the same word, he freely forgave them both. It didn't matter whether the man owed $50 or $500. He didn't have a penny. He couldn't pay his debt, period. And so the man forgave him frankly, forgave them frankly, freely. Lord Jesus Christ has paid the debt of his people, and God now forgives us freely, without a cause on our part. And that's the reason we love him, isn't it? That's the reason. God's people love him because he first loved us and saw us polluted in our blood, and came and redeemed us. I pray the Lord would bless this word.